I love that picture. Would you stand with me this morning as we read the Word of the Living God? We'll be finding ourselves in the Old Testament, mostly one verse in the New. Genesis 1:1, in the very beginning of your Bible, these words are spoken. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Pause. Psalm 33:6-9 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Psalm 62:11 says, "One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God." Jeremiah 9:23-24. "This is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or of the strong boast of their strength, or of the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord." And lastly, Jesus says these words, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Father, we praise you this morning. We give you praise just for your presence. God, we marvel at all that you do and what you make. You are God Almighty. Lord, we've left our homes to come here to this house, to this place of gathering, to this assembly of believers and seekers, that we might understand God better today. I ask, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, that we would just not hear these things with our ears, but with our hearts. I pray that you would drive truth deep within us, that you would speak into our lives today. This we pray for your glory and for your kingdom. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and for all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Well, see, a couple things I just want to say. Don Nordstrom, Dwight, are you going back to China this week?
I am.
When are you leaving?
Next Sunday.
Your whole family or just you? Pray for our brother. He's a missionary in China. He's a wonderful brother in Christ. Our hearts are with you big time. Our hearts are with you big time. Hey, a few weeks ago, we shared about how we were putting up a sunshade in the back by the children's area, and it's up right now. And if you get a chance, you want to go over and check it out. I just want to thank this church for the way you give, the way you care for one another. This is a great church and an awesome church. Our topic this morning is about power. Power. When I was a young believer, my wife and I met a football player named Doug Smith. I've talked about him quite a bit. When I was a student in seminary, I was running a college group at a football player for the Rams named Doug Smith, and he was the center for the Rams at the time. And when Cindy and I were first married, Doug and Debbie really kind of mentored us and shared with us, hey, this is what it's like to be a Christian. We were watching them from afar. We were watching them up close. As a matter of fact, after we got married, we moved to the Deerfield Apartments. You guys, anyone live in the Deerfield Apartments right over here off of Culver? And we had an upstairs apartment, and we had a dolly, and we were trying to lift our refrigerator up, and our dolly stunk, and Doug showed up. And my brother Doug just picked up our refrigerator and carried it up the stairs. It was awesome. Awesome to watch this. As a matter of fact, I remember one time we had taken a group of students down to San Onofre. We were camping out down there. And on the other side of San Onofre, a great surfing spot here in Southern California, it's a place called Trails. And you know those big ice chests that it takes two people to carry, filled with ice and all kinds of drinks. They have two handles on them. My brother put that on top of his shoulder and carried that down the hill by himself. He was awesome. Amazing. And by the way, while we were down there and camping out for a few days, we played tag football. Does anybody want to guess who was the fastest guy on the beach that weighed 300 pounds plus? Doug Smith. For me personally, he's the most powerful person physically I've ever met. How about you? Who's the most powerful person that you've physically ever met? God says through the prophet Jeremiah that if you're going to boast about something on earth, the greatest thing you should boast about, that you ought to boast about, is that you know God, that you personally know your Creator. People, is there any greater knowledge than that? Jesus says that knowing God results in eternal life. Sounds important, doesn't it? To know God. People, knowing God is what we were made for. Knowing God is the highest goal that you could set for your life, to know God. 2 weeks ago, we started this series called Knowing God. People, the mission of this church is to help people to meet and to know and to follow Jesus. You can't follow somebody you don't know. You can't love somebody you don't know. And that's why it's so important that you know God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the holiness of God. If you want to meet God, know God, you got to know that He's holy. 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked about if you want to know God, you need to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is immutable. He doesn't change. God is fixed in a world of change. If you really want to know God, you probably need to know that He's really powerful. If you want to know God, you should probably put this one in your personal data bank. How powerful do you think God is? I am a Reformed atheist. I didn't even believe in God until I was in my early 20s. And for me to switch my brain from there is no God and all that exists just has always been, to all of a sudden enter into the idea that there possibly might be a creator, is a huge switch from an atheist to an agnostic to a deist, and just that journey. If you begin to comprehend that there's a creator, there's immediately certain things that you need to give to this creator being, and one of them is some degree of power. Just look around. If all this isn't just happened over billions of years of time and chance, but if all that you and I see happened from a creator, what does that tell us? Power? How powerful is God? When I was a kid growing up in Big Bear, by the way, I'm a hick from Big Bear. I just found this picture. I love this picture. This is Snow Summit. In the wintertime, I ski down this slope as a kid. Over there in the peninsula to the right is a place called Eagle Point. That's where I was born and raised, right over there. Eagle Point, this is Big Bear. Big Bear's about 2 hours from here. It's about 8,000 feet up in San Bernardino Mountains. And when I grew up in Big Bear, my dad was a building contractor. My dad had a construction company called Hillcrest Homes, and my dad would build houses. He built between 25 to 30 houses a year. I think the most he said he built 80 houses 1 year. And it's really fun for me to drive up to Big Bear because I see homes like this one, and I go, that's one of my dad's houses. They're all over the place, these A-frames that he built, a whole bunch of them. My dad was a building contractor. My dad built houses from materials that already existed. Wood for framing, copper for piping. People, everything in this world that we humans create is created from something, from matter that already exists. Your phone, your cars, your houses that you live in, the shoes that you have is all created from something. How powerful is God? I want you to write this down. Take notes this morning. Get together in groups this week. Discuss this sermon this week. Stir this in. Write this down. God creates everything from nothing. What kind of power is that? Think about it. What kind of power is that? That a God can create from nothing, can speak it in. That's of a whole new realm. Do I hear an amen? Can any of you do this? Look at the stars in the sky. Actual picture of the Milky Way. On a clear night, and you look up into the stars, ponder these words. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Think about that. Stare at this picture while I read this to you again. Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Their starry host, by the breath of his mouth, he gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Is that power? Think about it. God speaks, and things pop into being. The song we just sang, these are the lyrics. God of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Do I hear an amen? How's that for power? If you want to know God, and you should know God, you need to know and understand, people, that he's powerful. King David said this in Psalm 62, 11. One thing God has spoken. One thing God has spoken. Two things I have heard, which I love. King David hears with his ears, and he hears with his heart. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. You might hear this sermon today, and you might just hear it with your ears, and it's gone. Or you might hear it with your heart. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, says the man after God's own heart. Power belongs to you, God. End of conversation. King David, the giant slayer, says, God says that he's power. End of story. Do I hear an amen? Isn't that beautiful? Write this down. Notes today. Real power belongs to the Lord God Almighty. That's power. Real power belongs to the Lord God Almighty. People, this was truly displayed in our world when God became a man and walked among us, Christmas. This man grew up. And to the leper, Jesus says, you are clean, and immediately his leprosy is gone. Jesus says it's gone. To the one who laid in the grave for 4 days, Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come forth, and the dead are raised to life. Jesus says it happens. To the stormy wind and the angry waves on the Sea of Galilee, they are silenced with a single word from his mouth. People, this is power. Do I hear an amen? This is power. If you want to know God, to really know God, then you're going to need to know and understand that he is ultimate power, that he's Almighty God. And what does Almighty mean? Almighty, all-powerful. Theologians call it omnipotence or omnipotence, all power. Omnipotence. Omnipotence. As we were discussing this topic, I think in my mind to a time in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 18, when God's famous prophet Elijah is on the scene. Elijah is called one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. More miracles was done by his hand than anyone else except Moses. He was God's man at God's time, willing to stand up for the Lord in a time in human history when God's people were leaving him in record numbers, when the whole nation was abandoning God. Elijah stands alone. And in 1 Kings 18, it's a beautiful setting where God begins to judge his people, and God, through the prayers of Elijah, doesn't rain for 3 years. And after 3 years, Elijah calls the people and calls the kings of the day and says, you are waffling between what God you're going to serve, the God of the Canaanite god Baal or the God of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Which one will you serve? And when it reads in 1 Kings 18 that Elijah calls this power contest, power contest. 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah are there. He says, let's set up two altars. And the one that calls down fire, that's God. Okay, that sounds cool. Contest happens. These 850 prophets pray, cut themselves. The God of Baal doesn't answer. When you read it, it's a great story. Elijah mocks them. And I think it's kind of cool. And finally, when they're done, he says, get over here. And he prays to the Lord God Almighty. And this fire from heaven comes down and completely destroys the altar. The people fall down and say, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. Elijah slays the prophets, the false prophets. It's beautiful. It's a great story. It's 1 Kings 18. And then after that, it says rain comes. And this is what it says in the very next chapter. Are you ready? 1 Kings 19. It reads like this. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me if ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. And Elijah says, your threats mean nothing. You better repent or the Lord God Almighty will do to you what he's done to these false prophets. Fear the Lord. Is that what it says? It says Elijah was afraid, ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judea, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. Isn't that an interesting piece of scripture? Does this sound like the prophet kind of mentally blew a gasket? Doesn't it sound like the prophet kind of has lost it a little bit and kind of needs to come off the court of life and sit with the coach for a little bit and get focus again? Doesn't that sound like what's kind of happening here? It's exactly what God does. God says, Elijah, get over here. Get over here. We need to talk. It's a beautiful text. It's probably one of my favorites in the Old Testament. The 19th chapter, 1 Kings 19. Listen to this. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. It's in the Sinai Peninsula. It's a great place, by the way. It's where Moses brought down the Ten Commandments. This is the mountain of God, where God had an encounter with Moses, and it's Elijah's turn. I love this. God gently restores his prophet with food and drink. He sends angelic intervention. And Elijah travels. Listen to this. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword, and I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Does he sound whiny? "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind." Picture that. "After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came," beautiful, "a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him," same thing God said before, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Isn't that a beautiful passage? Have you ever been in a severe wind? Anyone here from the Midwest with tornadoes? They'll get your attention. That's the rumor. Frightening displays of power. Earthquakes? They'll humble you real quick, people. You're in an earthquake, it'll humble you real fast. They're frightening displays of power. Time stops when they hit. How about fire? The destructive force of fire. Picture this scene with God and Elijah's prophet. People, God is outside this awesome display of nature, whatever that is. God is outside this awesome display of nature. It's happening before, and God's outside of it. And here's a beautiful conversation. "Elijah, what are you doing here?" "Wine, wine, wine. Come here." Wham! "Elijah, what are you doing here? What's God trying to do? What's God doing in this?" Focusing his prophet. "Breathe, Elijah, just breathe and look up toward me. Take a deep breath. Do you see me, Elijah? You called me Almighty. I think you forgot what those words mean. I am Almighty." "Elijah, man, the nation's blowing you off. The political leaders of the earth and their wives are blowing you off. They're bullies." And God says, "Don't worry about it. Focus on me and see how big my muscles are." Right? Write this down. God is all powerful, gentle, and humble. Beautiful. You know what Jesus said one time after storming the sea, raising people from the dead? You want to know God? He's power, but he's also gentle. "Come unto me," Jesus says, "all who are weary and heavy, weary burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Listen to this. God in human flesh says, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is all powerful. What if God was a bully? Could you do anything about it? What if God was just a terrible bully? What could you do about it? Answer? Not a darn thing. But God is all powerful and he's humble. He's gentle. That's beautiful. Do you see these traits on planet Earth? If you want to know God, you need to understand people that he's holy. If you want to know God, you need to understand people he does not change. If you want to know God, people, you need to understand that he's Almighty God. He's all-powerful. Is there any Elijahs in here this morning? Is anybody in here that's just saying, I've had enough, Lord? God wants you to focus on him. If any of God's people in here that's just saying, I'm done, what God wants you to do is say, take a deep breath and focus on me for a moment. And you'll find that power doesn't lie in political people or their wives. Power lies with God. How big is the God that you trust in? How powerful is the God that you serve? What would you say to that? People, is God powerful enough for your financial problems? Or does God look and say, well, I don't think I can help you with that. That's just terrible. If you're here today and your marriage is going through a tough spot, do you think God's powerful enough for your marriage? Or do you think God looks down and says, I wish I could, but that's just beyond me. Anyone in here have kids that are teenagers? Is God powerful enough to get you through teenagers? Or is God up in heaven going, man, I wish I could help you, but I can't. How about sickness in your family? Is God powerful enough to take your spirit to be with him when you die? The stained glass window says, he is risen, he's not here. Does God have the power to regenerate your body, take you beyond the grave? If you want to know God better, you need to know and understand that he's really powerful. People, he's actually all-powerful. And I got great news for you. He's for you. God has a power and a plan for your life, and you can trust him today. Today, tomorrow, the next day, and beyond the grave. If our God isn't all-powerful, do you want to know who's in trouble? You are. Write this down. If God wasn't powerful, we would be in trouble. Do you want to know why? We'd be in a lot of trouble. If God didn't have power, no act of his mercy could be exercised. It would be feeble pity. If God doesn't have power, his mercy toward you could not be exercised. God's mercy toward you would just be pity with no power to it. If God didn't have power, no act of his promises could be fulfilled. They would be empty words. All of God's promises toward you would be lies, empty words with no power behind them to deliver a promise. If God didn't have power, his judgment of evil on the earth would be a mere scare tactic with no power behind it, a bluff, because he doesn't have the power to act. If God didn't have power, he wouldn't be able to save you from your sins. If God didn't have power, he wouldn't be able to raise you from the dead. But I have great news for you this morning. God is all powerful. All powerful. He has the power to create everything from nothing. People, that's power. He can speak it into place. It's power. And his power is directed to you through his son, Jesus. And he wants you to understand this. Listen to this prayer as I close. Listen to this prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. God wants you to hear twice. Not just ears. God wants you to hear in your heart. You ready? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That's you. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of whose might? Whose might, people? His might. Which he brought about in Christ, in Jesus, in Messiah, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Here's the prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the workings of his strength, of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. People, this is God. This is God. The power to create you. The power to wash your sins from you. From Christ on the cross. Power to forgive you. Power to make you holy. And to give you new life in his Son. People, this is called awesome power displayed toward who? Where's God's power in Jesus aimed at? You. Power of God at you. Power of God aimed at you who believe. Power. Power. I want you to listen to this song one more time as we close. The worship team is going to come up. I want you to hear this song. It's called So Will I. The theology of this song is beautiful. The theology of this song is beautiful, and it's in sequence. From the creation of the stars to the creation of life on planet Earth to the creation of God's promises towards life on planet Earth. God of creation before the beginning of time with no point of reference spoke into darkness and brought out the wonder of light. And with a breath, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of nothing, the planets form. That's power. And when you listen to this, you'll read the power of God being directed toward you. Listen to this song again. Ponder this song again. Pray this song again.